I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Mark. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. Mark, chapter 2. And I'll be reading from verse number 1 down to verse number 12. Mark, chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum. After some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof, where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, your mercy, your grace upon our lives. We thank you that you are our Savior. We thank you so much for coming to this earth and shedding your blood on a rugged cross to redeem us from the slave market of sin. And in doing so, you have saved us and given us eternal life and made it available to all who would believe and all who would come to you. Lord, I pray that as your word goes forth today, that you would allow it to find a lodging place in each and every heart. And pray that you would give me the words you'll have me to say. I pray that they would not be my words, but your words. I pray that you would draw lost men, women, boys, and girls everywhere to you. And I pray that you would strengthen the hearts of those of us who know you as personal Lord and Savior. Pray that you take full control. Without you, we can do absolutely nothing. We ask for your Holy Spirit to move in a mighty way and special way today. And may no one on the sound of my voice resists the leading of your Holy Spirit. Take full control, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your precious Holy Spirit. I will be careful to thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Each and every week here at Child Baptist Church on Mondays and Wednesdays, we set aside time for prayer on Mondays for our men's prayer and on Wednesdays for our wider church family. And this time is set aside not to be the only time that we pray, but where we come together as a church and as members of our church to pray specifically. Each and every week, we are guided by a prayer list because we want to be able to pray not randomly, so that we can know when God answers prayers, because we believe that prayer changes things. Amen? But on this list that we are guided by exist a variety of different types of needs. Some of these needs are social in nature. Some are financial. Some are relational. But the list that always appears to be the longest is the health needs. And I believe that that's for a variety of different reasons. First of all, none of us likes to be sick. And as such, we empathize with those who are. It's also the category of need that we are we seem to be most comfortable sharing. Once again, because we can identify with individuals who are sick. It also seems that it's the need for which we feel most vulnerable to. And as a result, we are likely not to be perceived as if we are at fault for. When we get sick, we don't blame someone. That was your problem. That was your fault. Why did you go and get sick? We don't tend to think like that. And so we sympathize and we pray for healing for those who are in physical need. On the other hand, however, there is another category of need that does not often show up as often on prayer lists. These needs are not often shared or even admitted. As a matter of fact, placing an individual under this list of need can be seen as even offensive and presumptuous. This category of need that I'm speaking of today is the spiritual need. Ironically, it's the most common and greatest need of mankind today. Our spiritual need is evidenced by and results in the state of our world today. The breakdown in the society, the breakdown in the home, the depravity of the human condition. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The spiritual condition, the spiritual need is a great and important need. But thank God that as bad as this need is for every single person who's born of a woman, thank God that there is a Savior. Amen? There's a Savior who can fill that need. There's a Savior who lights our way. In our text in Mark chapter 2, stories told of a man who had multiple needs. He was brought to Jesus by his friends for physical healing, but he received spiritual healing as well. And this story is a somewhat familiar one in the Gospels. But I would suggest to you that there are some details to this story that are not specified and outlined in the 12 verses that we read. But as you read this story and you somewhat deduce from the details that are given, it is apparent that there are some spiritual needs that this man had that were important to him as well. And even though he came, and it would appear from the external vantage point that he came primarily for a physical need to be met, I would submit and suggest to you today that he came also seeking spiritual healing. And I want to preach a message today that I've entitled, "The Priority of Spiritual Healing." The priority of spiritual healing. You were to go to a hospital or you were to go to a home where people are ailing. Everybody wants to be healed physically. Amen? There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a far greater need. That need for spiritual healing that every single person needs in their lives. The priority of spiritual healing. I want you to notice, first of all, and if you're taking notes, notice verse number 3, the dire situation. The dire situation. Here you have this man. He's born of 4, and the Bible says in verse number 3 that they've come bringing one sick of the palsy. This palsy was a disease that resulted in paralysis. It means that you could not move around. He could not walk. It's also characterized by loss of feeling. He would also experience uncontrolled body movements. Such was the dire situation of his physical condition. But I would suggest to all of us today that, spiritually speaking, this man was also incapable of moving spiritually. The Bible describes in Ephesians chapter 2 that when we are born, we are dead in trespasses and sins. Amen? That really simply means that spiritually speaking, we are incapable of functioning in a way that pleases God. Isaiah describes it like this. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Filthy rags. It means that the best that we can offer is nothing before Almighty God. Our good works are not good enough. Baptism is not good enough. Confirmation is not good enough. Being kind to your fellow man is not good enough. Spiritually speaking, we are incapable of any discernible movement. If you were to go up to the cemetery and you were to somehow encounter a gravestone or a tombstone and somehow you find it moving, I suggest and submit that you would be out of there in a minute, actually a second. Because you do not expect dead people to move. Amen? Do I have a witness? When dead people or people who are presumed to be dead start moving, that is a very scary proposition. Why? Because dead people don't move. Spiritually speaking, when you and I are born into this world, spiritually speaking, we are dead. Incapable of movement. Such was the state of this man who was brought to Jesus. But he also, in his physical condition, had a loss of feeling. And I would submit as well, spiritually speaking, he had a loss of feeling. Here, we understand that spiritually speaking, we are unable to respond to the things around us. No feeling spiritually. You look at our world today and the Bible describes it as having a conscience seared with a hot iron. And we wonder as we look at our society and the degradation and the deprivation. You have people who seem to be numb to the feeling of others. Who would take a gun and just pop it off. No remorse. Nothing. You wonder, what's going on? Loss of feeling. This man, as a result of his paralysis, had suffered uncontrolled body movements. But spiritually speaking, do you realize that we have, as a sinful people, we do wrong naturally. We have sinful desires that we can't control. Such is the nature of our messed up spiritual condition. Paul describes it in Romans chapter 7. He says, the good that I would, I do not. And the things that I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. Uncontrollable movements. A dire situation. This man understood his state. And he wanted to get to Jesus. You know, so many are unwilling to admit their spiritual condition. And that's the very first step. Recognizing the dire state, the dire situation in which we were born. It's a reality. None of us are exempt. We notice, first of all, the dire situation. But notice, secondly, the desire for a solution. The desire for a solution. This man, he wanted healing. People sometimes admit their state, but they seem to be content with it as it is. But this man was different. He wanted to be healed. He was tired of his physical limitations, but he was also tired of his spiritual limitations. How many individuals are tired of year after year, January 1st after January 1st, making New Year's resolutions only to have them broken before the day is over? And the cycle continues. year after year, month after month, week after week, a continuous cycle of doing wrong? Is there any desire for a solution to the spiritual inability that we have to please Almighty God? This man wanted to be healed. He had a desire to change his spiritual state that was so dire. Notice with me the dire situation. Secondly, the desire for a solution. But thirdly, notice the dependence on the Savior. The dependence on the Savior. This story has us where this man is coming to Jesus, and the writer here, Mark, picks it up here, but I would submit and suggest that this man had heard about Jesus, who was healing people. He was doing supernatural things in individuals' lives. Here you have disciples, fishermen, who had radically been transformed. No doubt God had cleaned up their lives, and Jesus had radically changed their conversation. They probably curse, as we say, like a sailor. No insult to the sailors, but he all of a sudden they started speaking words of that just did not seem normal. Here is it, one day they lived a particular way, and Jesus said, "Come, follow me." And all of a sudden, miraculously, they were turned around. He says, "Wait, Jesus did that? I got to go see him. I need this man in my life." Dependence on the Savior. There was a longing that if Jesus could do it for them, he could do it for me. Amen. And I say to every single person here, it does not matter what background you have, what nationality, what side of the tracks you want. I guess the side of the tracks doesn't work down here because we don't have railroads. But it doesn't matter where you're from. Jesus can heal you. It doesn't matter how bad you think you are or were. Jesus can heal you. There was dependence on the Savior. But notice very quickly and fourthly, the determination shown. The determination shown. These men who brought this man to Jesus, they made up their minds from the beginning, we are going to get to Jesus. Amen? And thank God that he had some friends who were willing to help him. Now, when you have friends who are willing to help you to get to Jesus, those are some good friends. Amen? And sometimes you read this story, and because this man was sick of the palsy, I think somehow we probably presume that he was not conscious, so he may not have been able to speak, but I believe that this man was wide awake. I believe that this man knew what was going on, and he may have even been instructing them, "Gentlemen, we're not able to get to this crowd, but man, how about we try the roof?" This man had some determination. His friends had some determination. They were not going to take no for an answer. Amen? And in the attempt to get to Jesus, do not take no for an answer. There was some determination shown. Make no mistake. You determine in your heart of hearts that I'm going to get to Jesus, you will encounter obstacles. They will pop up. People will obstruct your path. Some situation unbeknownst or unexpected to you will arise that makes it seem impossible to get to Jesus. Such was the situation in this story. They wanted to get to Jesus, and they got to the Bible says, describe it here as the press. Could not get to the crowd. The crowd didn't decide to, well, let's open up and help this man who can't even walk. They're like, I'm not moving. Doubts can arise. What if I do this? What's going to happen? Every Sunday during the service, services like this one, the Holy Spirit tugs on hearts and convinces individuals, at least convicts them, that you need a Savior. But here's a competing thought that says, boy, now you don't need to do that right now. You can wait till next week. Man, you're okay. You're not too bad. Man, you're a nice person. Such is the situation whenever an attempt is made to seek spiritual healing. And there's a thought, I can't make it. I can't live that Christian life. I can't overcome this situation. My family is too messed up. I've done too many things wrong. Jesus could never forgive me. I would suggest to you all of those things are lies from the pits of hell. This man, along with his friends, demonstrated some determination that we need spiritual healing and we are going to get to Jesus. Amen. The one who could heal, the one who could solve the problem. The determination shown. But notice number 5. The deference to the spiritual. Now, here you have these men. They determine nothing is going to stop us from getting to Jesus. So they're not able to get to the crowd, but they take an alternate route. They take a detour and they go up to the roof and they put a hole in the roof. I mean, you talk about determination. I mean, they didn't even ask, well, whose house is this? I mean, can we get a permit to put a hole? They say, you know what? Listen, let's do this. We'll solve that later. If we get healed, you get healed. That's the biggest issue right now. So they put a hole in this roof and they lower their friend right at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says in verse number 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, you talk about prioritizing the spiritual need. Amen? This is it right here. This is the crux of the message. Here you have this man who cannot walk physically. He's in a dire situation. He's incapacitated. He cannot move around. He has these convulsions and just a desperate physical situation. But he gets to Jesus after demonstrating such determination, and Jesus, who knows all, who knows that this man did not just come to me for physical healing, but he came for spiritual healing as well, says, I'm going to prioritize the most important need. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Jesus deferred to the spiritual, even though everybody else could only see the physical. He knew that this man, even prior to getting to him, had a longing and a desire in his heart that Jesus would meet his spiritual need. And Jesus addressed the most important need. Thank God that Jesus knows everything. Amen. Often, there are many things that you see it all throughout the Gospels that Jesus often addressed things that were hidden from the human eye. But because he knew, he spoke to it as if it was apparent, which it was, of course, to him. And he gave this man a commendation. He says, thy faith hath made thee whole. He says, you may have a health need, but you need a Savior. Amen. And for all of us gathered here today, you may have a health need or you may not. But no matter who you are, We are all in need of a Savior. In need of a Savior. It's simply the most important need of mankind. It's the root of every kind of problem that exists. It is the origin of the problem of sin. It ought not to be taken lightly. The deference to the spiritual. But notice number six, the doubt of the skeptics. The doubt of the skeptics. Now here Jesus addresses this man's spiritual need in verse number five. Verse number six, but they were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Now let me warn you in advance. You know, when you know something in advance, you can help prepare for its coming. Amen? If you make a decision to receive spiritual healing, expect that there will be some doubters. Amen? Just as there were skeptics back then, there will be skeptics now. There'll be those who say, man, you can't change. I'm going to give you 2 weeks. Check back in 2 weeks. They're going to put a time period on your healing to be able to determine whether it was real or not. Don't be shocked. Remember, Pastor Wayne told you in advance. Amen? Don't let them deter you. You know, the amazing thing is, many times you don't know that these doubters exist until you make a decision for God. That's when they pop up. They seem to come out of the woodworks. Kind of like when you have insecticide and you suspect you have a problem and you spray that thing in. I mean, those things seem to scatter from you don't know where. Somehow that's the scenario. You make a decision for God. I mean, people come from all over. Don't you wait. I thought you were my friend. Doubters, skeptics. By the way, it's a good way to identify who your friends really are. And you know why? You know that sometimes, well, oftentimes, people, when you're trying to get healing, and people come out as skeptics and doubters, they're not really your friends. Because those people, the people who are skeptical and doubting, the problem is, and the reason why they're doubting your decision, they don't want to get healing for themselves. So they want you to stay in the condition that they are. Why? Because it helps them feel better. Let's stay sick together. Man, why you going to go get healed and leave me here sick? Why you need to tell them, man, come with me. Let's both get healing together. Doubters and skeptics will arise. But thank God, number seven, the demonstration of sovereignty. Jesus, in response to their thoughts that they were reasoning in their hearts, in verse number eight, it says, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they saw reasons within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? He says, but that he may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. Here's what Jesus was simply saying to them. He said, this man, he came to me with multiple needs. He had a physical need that was so apparent to all of you. You know that he couldn't walk. You can see his condition. But he also had a spiritual need, and I chose to prioritize his spiritual need. But here's something you need to understand, that I'm the King of Kings, I'm the Lord of Lords, and I can heal spiritual, I can heal physical, and I can take care of every type of need possible because I'm God. Amen? He demonstrated his sovereignty. Jesus says, man, just as easy as it was for me to forgive sins, it's as easy as that to tell him, rise up, take up his bed, and walk. And here's what. Since you couldn't see the transformation on the inside, let me show you by getting him to rise up and walk that I can do all of it at the same time. He demonstrated his sovereignty. That's the kind of Lord that we have. Amen. Amen? He said, I focused on the spiritual because that's the one that was most urgent. But make no mistake, I have the power to deal with both because of who I am. There was demonstration of sovereignty. But notice, finally, the deliverance that was seen. Verse number 13 says, verse 12 rather, and immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. People were amazed. They glorified God. And I would suggest and submit to you that if you make a decision to receive the spiritual healing that is available, people will be amazed at the transformation in your life. I dare say you will be amazed at the transformation in your own life as a result of the healing that is available. This deliverance was seen. It was clear. It was evident. Why? Because there is a Savior. The priority of spiritual healing. Nobody wants to be sick physically. But would to God that there would be a sense of urgency, a sense of desperation, that as much as I don't want to be sick physically, I also do not want to be sick spiritually. People go to doctor's offices and they sit down. We all do. Sometimes for hours on end. Why? Because we're in desperate need of physical healing. How many are willing to make a decision? And Jesus says, you don't have to wait hours for me. You don't even have to pay for the visit. You just have to come to me in faith, believing that I can and knowing that I will. And that spiritual healing is available. It's the greatest need of mankind. And I trust that today that you will receive the spiritual healing that is available. You don't know Jesus because he's a personal Lord and Savior. Are you tired of trying over and over to do what is right? And trying to attain to some standard that pleases God and I feel like I'm falling flat on my face every single time? That's the nature of our spiritual condition. But Jesus says, spiritual healing is available. Won't you prioritize spiritual healing today? Jesus wants to heal. As a matter of fact, as I indicated before, we're not even spiritually sick when we are born in this world. As a result of our spiritual condition, we are spiritually dead. Dead. No movement. Nothing that can please Almighty God. But thank God, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's now risen you up, made you alive in Jesus Christ. That's the power of spiritual healing, a transformation that none of us can effect. The priority of spiritual healing. We're living in a world where priorities are all messed up. And I trust that today, not tomorrow, not next week, not later, but now, that every single person will prioritize our spiritual condition. You're born again, believe in Jesus Christ. You're made alive. But I trust that you prioritize your spiritual growth and your walk with Almighty God, your relationship with God. You're here today and you're not a born-again believer. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that you'll recognize the dire situation, that there'll be a desire for a solution, that there'll be some determination shown, recognizing that you must depend on the Savior. Don't worry about the skeptics, the doubters. They're going to come up. They're going to arise. But no one can get your healing for you but you. And I can plead and I can beg and I can say all I can. But every individual must desire it for themselves. Won't you prioritize your spiritual healing today?